Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So we're following Jesus directly from his baptism to the temptation in the wilderness. Jesus fasting for 40 days to be tempted, to test him. It's one thing to endure temptation in comfort and in the midst of good times. Another thing entirely to be tempted in troublous times. And a lot of times we think, oh, we'll rise to the occasion. But the truth is, it's the other way around. If the temptation is too great for you during the time of peace, it will certainly be even more tempting in a time of trouble. So Christ, who from his youth has been living the most excellent sort of life in righteousness and in godliness, is now also going to be tempted in the most extreme circumstances. And he was hungry. And of course the devil says, well then, here, command a stone to be made bread. And you look at that and you think, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with making a stone into bread? He has the power to do it. You know, having that kind of power is a temptation unto itself. Meaning, you know, I could extend the duration of my fast by putting myself far away from food. Because I can't command stones to be made bread. But I can go down to the store and buy food. And thus I can break my fast. Jesus wasn't ready to break his fast. He wanted to fulfill the will of God. And he had to fast the full measure. And to break down and use his power to cause bread to fill his belly at this point would be a failure. Temptation is not merely a question of not sinning. It is positively doing God's will in our lives. Sin is one aspect of that. It's no sin to eat, especially when you're hungry. I can't think of a better time to eat. I'm hungry, I should eat. The sin in eating is people eating who aren't hungry. They're already full and they continue to eat. That's sin. But for a hungry man to eat is no sin. Except that he was on a fast divinely appointed. He didn't go out into the wilderness for nothing. He went out because God's will had appointed to him to fast these 40 days. And here's the elephant in the room. Who's asking him? Who is asking him and in what spirit? That's always a critical thing. When your enemy comes to you telling you, make food, eat food, do this, do that. Even if your fast is over, you should not do it. We ought never take action based on the temptations of the enemy. And so Christ answers him, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I don't need food. I need God. That's what I need to live. What I need to live, what I'm really hungry for is God. And that's how we need to live our lives. We need to live our lives as if it's not food we need every day. You know, we're always thinking that. We get up in the morning, we think, what's for breakfast? Lunch comes around, what's for lunch? Evening comes, how about some dinner? You know, and we think about that all the time. We're always have our mind on what we need to feed our bodies. But we haven't given thought to what is truly needful, that we should live. And that is God. I don't need, and that's why Jesus says, you must eat and drink my flesh and blood. In order, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's part of the teaching. You've got to eat and drink my flesh and blood if you want to be my disciples. And that means we have, he is our daily bread. He is what we need most every day. Yeah, we need to eat, but we need him more. We need Christ to be occupying our minds when we get up, when we are in the middle of our day, and when we close our day. We need to think on him because we need that more than we need to eat. And that's what Christ is affirming here to the devil. And who is the devil? You know, I used to do a lot about the devil. I used to, you know, really, that was something I thought I was really up on. All the scriptures about the devil. What the devil is, what the devil wants, what the devil, where is he going, what's he doing, what's his plan, what's this, that, the other. But now I've come to realize, the Lord rebuked the enemy. I don't want to be ignorant of his devices. My best weapon against the enemy is the power of God active in my life, so that I am living by God's word and not by bread, that I am able to withstand temptation now when it's easy to withstand temptation, so that when the day of trouble comes, I'll have been prepared. There's a lot written about Satan, you know, Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 31. There are some prophecies of kings that are definitely also referring to the devil in a spiritual sense, as being the Lord over them all, and being the antitype of all of them, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon, the king of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They're all like the devil. Like the devil, they do things according to their will, which is outwardly against the will of God. But in God's will, they have a place, just like in the Garden of Eden. Don't think for a moment that the serpent snuck in to the garden without God's knowledge. Don't think that the serpent pulled something over his eyes. The serpent was there to serve a purpose. God created the devil to be the devil, and he does the devil's work. What does devil mean? Diabolos in Greek means